Just brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral VW just broke the rules of gravity. Prices are falling so fast. We're checking for a crater. Volkswagen's priced like they lost their minds. Doral VW, buckle up. No one sells for less. No one. Starting in the NFL, the Eagles beat the Cowboys 24-20 to open up the season. Week one continues tonight with the Chiefs and Chargers playing in Brazil. The Dolphins will open up their season on Sunday in Indianapolis. Over to the Canes. We'll host Bethune-Cookman tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 7 from Hard Rock, and the game can be heard here on WQAM with our countdown to kickoff beginning at 3. And the Marlins will begin a three-game series with the Phillies tonight. The first pitch is at 7:10 from Lone Depot Park. The Joe Rose Show continues now.
15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored is brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event. Get offers on select models now through September 2nd. Learn more at Lexus.com.
All right, welcome back here for the 8 o'clock hour. We got a lot of news to get to. One of the strangest openings to a season I've ever seen in my life. Jalen Carter, one of the best defensive linemen in football, one of the best defensive tackles in football, spits on Dak Prescott before the first snap on offense and defense. Gets kicked out of the game. That's how it started. I know if you were watching that last night, and a lot of you were, are going, oh, my God, I've never seen. Just when you think you've seen just about everything possible in professional sports in general, Jalen Carter goes double-ass clown last night. Double-ass clown, not one, double-ass clown, gets kicked out of the game, and that's it. Meanwhile, besides a 65-minute delay. Yeah, it wasn't exactly the way NBC thought this thing would go last night, for sure. But anyway, end up, Eagles win 24-20 in that game. We've got all kinds of Dolphin news to get to. I got a head-scratcher here. We got a lot of guys on the injury report. I don't always read it well, especially with this organization right now. I'm way off on guys I think are going to play, don't play, is usually the way it goes. This Darren Waller situation is now officially a mystery to everybody that follows this or follows the team. He missed a second straight practice. He's had a hip injury that's he's had hip problems. Apparently, since he's been here, according to the latest reports that are out. And then on top of that, they're saying, well, he was supposed to practice yesterday, didn't practice again. Listen, I don't know what's going on at the hip. I don't know how long. I know it's a bad look if we have another guy that's not healthy, ready to go for the start of the season. I think the Dolphins have way too many of those guys. Way, way too many guys we sign, and they're supposed to be back for the start of the season. They've got him as the number one tight end. Darren Waller is the number one on the depth chart.
They have 14 players currently on the week one injury report.
We had two guys added to it yesterday, a backup safety, and you're starting right guard.
I could go down this list. It's a lengthy list.
No. Yeah,
but Darren Waller didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, obviously.
So that'd be you'd be a little concerned with this. And this is a guy that hadn't played football and has missed two camps. Two. He retired from one, and the second one, they are bringing him back at whatever that pace they call it. Snail's pace back here so far. But so I just want to get you caught up on some of this stuff, just so you know, and that I'm not overreacting to something I've tried to be patient about as you get set to watch this game Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Dolphins have two running backs, Devon Achane, who I hope is going to be able to play a lot of the game, and Ollie Gordon, the second rookie running back out of Oklahoma State. You're not going to play with two running backs. They got to bring one guy up, whether it's Jeff Wilson or Jamichael Hasty. One of those guys got to be brought up, at least one guy. You got to have three running backs for a game, especially with Devon Achane coming back from an injury. Second of all, you go to the tight end position, and right now on the active 53, you have Waller, Hill, and Tanner Connor. If Darren Waller goes, hey, this hip's not, I'm just not, I might need another week, you're down to Julian Hill and Tanner Connor. Two, I don't know too many teams that go into a game with two tight ends. Now, they have Greg Dulcich and Hayden Rucci on the practice squad. Here's the problem you have. The kicker, Riley Patterson, is coming up. So one of your two practice squad players that you can bring up, you can only bring two up. Two guys from the practice squad every week can be put on the active roster. So now the kicker's going to take one, replacing Jason Sanders, who's going to be out. He's on IR. So do you go with an extra tight end or do you go with an extra running back? What do? You're going to go into a game with two tight ends. And the thought would be you could play one of your tackles as a blocking tight end, which teams do. Or you go the other way and try to get through a game with two running backs. Very dangerous. You see how many of these guys drop. And the Dolphins have had their share of running backs go down. That's where you are.
You're not looking much into the limited of practice, though, right? I mean, because you got Tyreek was limited on Wednesday and Thursday. He's on the report.
I know.
And the same with Achane. He was limited on Wednesday and Thursday.
I know. It's a little late in the week to hear limited coming in. By the way, coming into a game. Week one.
Just so people know, like Indy's report, they have a backup running back on there.
Yes.
They have one player on there.
So it is a little concerning so many guys didn't practice yesterday or limited practice with a game just a few days away. I'm a little concerned. Now, we're going to find out about these guys if they're like, hey, coach, just give me a couple of days. I'm going to play. I'm going whatever, 75, 80% I'm playing because I want to get this number. This first game's important to me.
Maybe we're just reading too much into it.
Well, the one that concerns me the most is not Tyreek Hill. I'm not going through the whole list of guys added to the list. The Darren Waller one is real because of this is really weird.
Why do you have expectations there, though?
The other one's got him number one on the depth chart. Okay. I didn't stick him first on the depth chart.
I told you from the beginning, this kind of felt like the Odell thing. Like, I don't know why you have expectations. I mean, how they're just going to throw him in there and let it rip?
He's one of the three guys they kept on the active roster. I know, what do you think?
Does he know enough what to do? Like, is he ready to go?
He's around.
I mean,
he's been there every day. He's there.
Think he's physically ready.
Big, tall, lean dude. Yeah, he's there.
I know he kept in shape, but damn, it's a long time to go without practicing.
It is a long time to go without practice, and you're missing practice on the week of your first game. Yes, that is.
So I don't know. Like, are they just going to line him up as the starting tight
end? I don't know what this new maintenance program you're doing for a guy that's been out of football for a year. It's brand new to me, man. It is brand new to me. And if you know something about it. So anyway, that's the situation they're in. Again, it doesn't change anything. You got to win this frigging game. You play with the guys that are going to be there. Next man up and let's go. But I am really curious. I'm going to take that little pad of guys and see, because today's practice won't be as much now that it's Friday. They cut back. But I am curious to take that list with me to Indy and see which of those 13 can't play in this game. Which guys won't be playing.
Couple of texts back-to-back here, Joe, from different 305 numbers. One guy says the Dolphins are completely dysfunctional. Another guy says they're just being overly cautious.
I hope so.
Now, said, didn't we get fined last year for messing around with the truth on the injury report stuff?
Well, that's the other thing. Some guys put everybody on the list. You know, Belichick was a classic jerk about this thing. Yep. He put everybody on the list, and you're going, okay. You can't read it.
You see Belichick's depth chart he put out?
No. What do you do now?
Any players on it? He just left it blank.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
I don't know. I know.
So those guys are kind of the guys. I know coaches hate depth charts too. I do. If they could do without one thing, they wish they didn't have to put a depth chart out for everybody involved. I know they don't like it. And they go, hey, this is our first one, but don't read into it. Well, we're reading into it because it's that time of the year, man. It is game time. Game as in they count now. Now they say W or L behind them. So anyway, I just wanted to put that stuff out there this morning because it's you only have two practice squad guys you can call up. and I'm looking at three potentials. I know you can't play with two running backs, Devon Achane and Ollie Gordon II, who's still learning everything. You got to have another guy. Jeff Wilson is the most likely guy because he's been in this system. He's been here.
954 says, how is it a guy who is home on his couch for 2 years, signs with the Dolphins, never practices, hurts his hip, and is tight end one?
I know. That's, by the way, that's more than fair right there. It's nicely put. So anyway, there's got to be, you know, what did you say, 13 guys on that list?
14.
God. It's amazing. You cut back on practice stuff and cautious, you get more guys. Right? I hope so. I hope it's Mike going, hey, you just want you as healthy as can be on Sunday. That's it. And it could be. That could be Mike. I mean, that's Mike. That could be. But, boy, I'll tell you what, if they got guys dropping in practice, you know, James Daniels said, I guess, got an ankle now. And, you know, I hope that's not the case. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We've got more stuff to get to. Don Bailey Jr., Hurricanes radio analyst and the best floor man in the business. Got my floors from him. Got my floors in the house from DBJ. And you know who I had to wait on? They go, hey, he'll be with you in a couple days. So he'll be able to do it. And I go, why? Because he's doing Kim Bo Campers. For I go, damn, Bo, I don't wait on you.
He put Bo in front of you?
He put Bo in front of me.
Wow. I'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. If you got to do
see
it
with, him tomorrow.
If you got to do it with somebody, we do it here. And by the way, you know the guarantee we do. DBJ, when he's not out there with team, and he's with the team a lot, but when he's not and he's in the office, ask for him. Go, I am interested in your flooring or your carpet, but I need DBJ. He goes out and does that. He owns company, but he goes out and does that.
Yeah.
He came to our house. My wife loves him now. She's, okay. She thinks DBJ's kind of cool.
Everyone loves DBJ.
Everybody loves him. That's a good point. Yeah. Hey, I tell you who I love, man, and love talking about is Baptist Health South Florida and the work they're doing, one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. People ask me all the time, hey, Joe, they know when they ask me this, where do the pros go? And I go, enter Miami. They eat the Panthers and the Miami Dolphins. All use Baptist Health South Florida doctors and facilities. That's where they go. And it's not just the great team doctors that they have been unbelievable with the team, but also the top specialists when needed. They have put together an all-star lineup of specialists for every part of the body. For those of you who go, I got to go see the best. You don't really have to, because the best are right here at Baptist Health South Florida. Knee, shoulder, foot and ankle specialist, hand specialist, back specialist, hip and knee replacement doctors. That's been a big one, man. Everybody's getting hips and knees done. And then on top of that, Achilles. Want to let you know they have got 30 plus specialists that do nothing but work on high school, college, and professional athletes and all the rest of us. When you're active out there, you know what happens. You get injured. And we got great facilities in Dade and Broward County, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility, and 595 in Pine Island Implantation. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho today.
Joe, before we get back to it here, if you'd like the chance to have a Pro Bowl Miami football player come visit an elementary school of your choice, it could happen. It's WQAM's MVP experience with the Dolphins, Zach Sealer. He is on board to speak at a school. Go to WQAM.com and enter an elementary school in Broward or Dade now for a chance to get a visit from Zach Sealer, where he will speak to students and more. For contest rules, go to WQAM.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. And we got some more stuff. It's interesting. All the national power rankings to all your favorite sports websites and everything else out there. Just going through them last night. All right, listen to guys. And things have been really negative about this team. And some of it they've done to themselves. Just so you know, yes. But SI has them ranked in the power rankings 28th. Pete Prisco, representing CBS, 25. NFL.com, 24. ESPN, 22. And the guy that's going to join me at 9 o'clock hour from Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, has this 29th.
29th is harsh, man.
So 29th, just so you know, working off last year, is three wins. I know.
That's why, like, here's the thing, man. To be 29th, you got to be one of those teams that, like, you look at the quarterback and you're like, wow, this guy sucks.
So
you got to look at, like, New Orleans, right? Or, like, how about the situation in Vegas? Didn't they just have, like, Amari Cooper just retire for something again?
Yeah. He was going to go out
a week and there he was like, no.
He lost it. He lost his love for the game and did the right thing and just said, I don't want to go through this.
Those are the kinds of teams that you think about in that. Like,
so Woody, I thought it was interesting because we've been talking about this and a lot of you say, hey, Dolphins going to win 5 games, go 5-12, which I just go, it's not going to happen.
I think 5 is low too.
So Woody, just so people know, last year, there were three-win teams, Browns, Giants, and Titans. Still all in jeopardy of having bad seasons. There's 3-4-win teams, Patriots, Jags, and Raiders. There's 4-5-win teams, Jets, Bears, Panthers, and Saints. Now, those four, the Dolphins play all but the Bears. They play the Jets twice, Panthers, and the Saints. I just look at, you could put these power rankings and the reasons why, and, you know, don't believe Tua. The number one thing I got was don't believe Tua can stay healthy for 17 games was one. Depth of team, talent overall, not sold at certain positions. The Tyreek thing is always in there. Tyreek thing's not going to work out. That's been the divorce is coming and a guy I'm having on 9 o'clock, Mike Florio, had his 29th, and I was
29th is not a good preseason powering. Like 29th is a worst case scenario.
Okay,
right? Like 29th. They put from one everything that you just said. Florio is assuming that's going to happen.
Right.
Right. Like he's assuming that the team's going to start off and it's going to be a disaster and Tyreek is going to ask out and Tua is going to get hurt and be done for the year. Like he's assuming all of those things will happen.
So anyway,
you can't do that on a preseason ranking. Can you?
No, like, going into a season,
like, you got to take into account, like everything's healthy. Everything's good. I think on a preseason ranking, I think they're more towards the middle, Joe.
I don't care what everybody says because it really doesn't matter. But this is the stuff, you know, from these people that cover NFL for a season, put their list together, looked at rosters, got help from people working with them, and this is what they came up with. Now, we're going to play a lot of young guys. There's no question. We're going to have 5 rookies going to play a lot of football on Sunday. You're going to get to know the names. You'll get a chance to Savannah, to Ollie Gordon, and then on defense, Marshall, and the defensive tackle. There's guys everywhere that are going to be playing a lot of football. But I look at this and I go, wow, you're putting us in a category with some really struggling teams. Now, I know there's a love affair with the Patriots, who we won double the amount of games as last year. So a lot of people think Patriots are going to make this huge jump to, and we're going to find out week 2. We play them. They're up next. Jags, they
got the Jags same win total as we do.
Raiders, the Jets, I hear a lot of people saying a lot of nice things about Justin Fields, and he's going to get his, you know, he's away from dysfunction. He's going to be fine. And then there's the Panthers and the Saints, who.
I mean, Joe, look, Justin Fields wouldn't be the first quarterback to be rehabbed somewhere, except that it's usually the opposite with the Jets, right? It's usually the Jets doing the ruining.
Yeah, and they got new people. And that's the other thing. There's a lot of new organizations running these teams, and they're getting the benefit of the doubt. People love Vrabel and the Patriots. And
well, let's get this out of the way. There's no chance the Dolphins win 3-4 games. There's just no way.
I don't think
maybe like last year at their worst, right? Because the problem was you were going to practice squads to find quarterbacks. That won't happen this year.
They were not prepared with backup quarterback last year. No,
like I don't think Zach Wilson's very good, but like, I mean, he'll be better.
So anyway, I just want to make people aware of, like,
I don't like that worst case scenario stuff though that people keep putting out there. Like that's not reasonable, right?
A third of the league basically won five or less games.
Yeah.
All right. So and of course we play a lot of them. I underline all the teams, and you know, the Browns and the Patriots and the Jets and the Saints and the Panthers are on our schedule. Anyway, I'm just not on that that bandwagon of that they're going to win two or three games. And you're more than welcome to send them in here. And
do you have a number? Like, do you have what you think? I mean, do you have a – today's the day.
Oh, I think is, you know, again, starts with the – we should – by the way, and Po and I talked about this a lot yesterday when I was with them. So we just got to stop with – it's just a given to who needs to play. Like other teams, they're not saying, well, if Mahomes plays 17 games
yeah.
and if Josh Allen plays 17 – I mean, you get used to some of these guys never miss games.
I mean, if the
and
Bills,
we do it with our guy.
Josh Allen, they'd be one of the worst teams in the league.
They'd
right?
have some problems. Going with Trubisky, they would
terrible.
Have. Huh?
I think the Bills would be terrible if they lost Josh Allen.
I just think most teams. Trubisky. I think most teams go to the backup. It's going to be a big ass drop off.
Yes.
So
I would agree with that.
This is hoping, and he's only done it once, that Tua does it. They're going to have a winning record at least with this group.
You think they'll have a winning record?
Yeah.
Okay.
With him. Now, that's a big still more than other teams. We have to talk about that because of history.
So that would put them in the top half of the teams in the league then. All these guys have them towards
the bottom. Well, listen, that could still have us just – so you know what that does. That puts you just barely in or barely out.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 and 9 are basically related.
In the hunt.
8 and 9 and sitting there in the last week and watching the Denver Broncos while you're playing the friggin' Jets and Denver scoring like – the Jets put it up on the – so we could all see and they go, damn, they just scored again. Damn, they just scored again. Damn, they just scored again. And go, oh, Kansas City's not playing anybody. They're resting everybody. They'd already tied up their best record. All right. So is that who they played? Maybe they didn't. I know Kansas City rested all their guys the last week.
So that's where you're going. You're going 10 wins? Is that 9 wins?
I don't know about 10.
9?
I don't know about 10.
So you're taking the over on 7.5 is what you're telling me.
Yes. Is that what it is? 7? I thought it was 8.5. 7.5?
7.5.
Yeah.
I think they can go over that too. Not by much, but
hey, man, hey Woody,
this but I understand
to like, get to that number, boy, it'd sure be nice. I always say, man, and this comes from the guy that won 347 games. Boys, we want to get off to a great start. I mean, he believed you came right out of preseason. Like he tried to win 4 preseason games every year. Yeah. When I was there, he was like, "Nah, hell no, we want to win. We want to go into the season on a roll." And I used to go, on a roll, you're playing all the young guys. A lot of guys aren't going to be on the team.
Fans are going to be riled up. They win 8 or 9 games, though, man.
That's not going to do it.
Well,
there won't exactly be a love affair around here.
Who knows what they'll do? That's a conversation for another time. But
that's a conversation down the road that will pop up one way or the other because everybody is curious about it. All right. Hey, listen, we've got a lot more stuff to get to. Don Bailey Jr., Hurricanes radio analyst, getting ready, man. Hey. Let's get this thing started early and play some youngsters, man. Can't wait to see some guys get some more playing time. We're going to talk about some of those guys and go back to Notre Dame and Miami for just a second with Don Bailey Jr. when we come back. But first, want to take a second this morning to tell you once again about your South Florida Chevy dealers and those new trucks. It is officially truck month, and we want to let you know we got great deals. We got great trucks. We want you to come down and take advantage of the great offers that we are offering right now at your South Florida Chevy dealer. The durable Colorado with its standard Turbo Max engine, impressive torque. You'll get aggressive off-road capability for every adventure that lies ahead in South Florida. Silverado 1500, always ready, steady, and strong, delivering all the power, everything you need for workday workhorse, and a weekend warrior, man. Doesn't matter. You know, a lot of guys out there make a living, man, to work on their own and make a living and depend on a truck to work as hard as they do. And I'm not talking 5 days a week. I'm talking 6 and 7 days a week. We got a Silverado truck that's as durable as you are, works all the time, doesn't break down, that you can trust with all the power you could ever want. Silverado HD, Well, you'll feel it all there. It offers big payload numbers, legendary horsepower, one of the hardest working beds in the business, man. We got something for everybody. Whether it's a mid-size, full-size, or heavy-duty truck, stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. We got some great deals going on right now. You're about ready to get yourself a new truck. South Florida Chevy dealers would love to show you the durability of the South Florida Chevy dealer trucks that they have.
On this station, so I know every time he comes to Buffalo, he talks about how you take him out for dinner and you guys really have a good time up there, huh?
We do. I mean, it's awesome. I enjoy, you know, him and Dan and a few other guys on that. But yeah, it's something they come up and we wine and dine them, we have some fun and enjoy it. So why not? A typical, when you have the bet each and every year, you have to sweep. I have one with Marino. If we sweep, he buys me stone crab. And if they sweep, I buy him stone crab. And don't let him tell you that I only did him chicken wings. That's a bunch of crap. But the thing is, I said, Dan, number one, I wouldn't do it. Number two is, you guys haven't swept the Buffalo Bills since Larry's uncle played.
Jim Kelly's a bad man. Jim Kelly, you are a bad, bad man. Great seeing him, though, at the Notre Dame University of Miami game. Boy, what you talk about Hall of Famers. We bring in Don Bailey Jr., man. The floor's king of South. That was hilarious, by the way, brother. That was, I got to tell you, that was great. And all the Hall of Famers at that frigging game was incredible. Never seen so many guys, starting with Jimmy Johnson and just working your way through.
Yeah, it was a great day, Joe. I don't think Jim's rest of his story got on the air, but he told me that you stuck his butt with a bad credit card up in Buffalo one time too.
I got news for you. When that dinner takes place, I have nothing to do with that dinner and that tab.
I bet.
Starting with the one side with the two Hall of Famers and the four or five freeloaders with it. No, there's no way, brother. No way I'm touching that one. No, that's not going to happen. Hey, I do want to ask you though here real quickly. Where's that win rank for you in recent years? Beating Notre Dame at home to kick things off.
The only thing that's been close to it was when we did it in 2017, and I think it's even more impressive right now. I mean, to think that. Was it, Joe, 36 games ago, 33 games ago, Miami lost to Middle Tennessee State at home. And what Mario Cristobal's done in 33 games is take him from losing to Duke and Middle Tennessee State at home and his first year. And then in the first game of his fourth year, he beats a team that went to the national championship game last year, was ranked number 6 in the country, and is, you know, was touted to be in the playoffs and in a run for a national championship. And in 33, 36 games, depending upon if you want to count from Duke or Middle Tennessee, he's starting to flip this thing. And I just think it's just an amazing job of what they've done and what he's done.
Yeah. So now you go from that Notre Dame game.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we can't sugarcoat. It's Bethune-Cookman you're playing and everybody's saying nice things and they put on their uniforms and all that stuff. But we need to get the work with the number ones and some of the key number twos. And then we the ideal situation in that second half is to get a lot of young guys a lot of playing time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Normal protocol is the first group comes out the first drive of the second half. And, you know, if the score allows it, and then everybody starts getting into the ball game. But you've got four games plus bowl games now where these guys can play and not get redshirted. So, you know, specifically somebody like Emery Williams, you've got to get him in there as much as you can. These guys,
yes,
the secondary.
That's a good one. That's somebody, a good one to start with. That's your backup quarterback is an important one and didn't get enough playing time a year ago. You're right.
No, he didn't. And D-line too, you know, you're going to replace some pretty impressive guys at defensive end probably next year with Bain and Mesidor. So you got to get Blunt in there and Lightfoot and see what those guys are going to, how they're able to get them groomed, get them to step in and pick up the slack.
I was going to throw some guys out that I wanted to see. And just the top of my list, Dante Simpson, defensive tackle. Is he to you like the fourth defensive tackle right now or no?
He's between four and five. So, you know, him and Daylon Russell, I think, are battling that out. But he's for absolutely in the top five. And, you know, he's got super size, you know, he's a freshman. He's over 300 and he plays the game at the right pad level and he's able to hold the point and do everything that you want a guy to do. And he will get in the ball game and you need to see him be as active as he can. And the thing that gets me, it's so important with guys on the line of scrimmage, either side, the young ones, they got to get used to going play after play after play. It's not two plays and take a rest or three plays and take a rest. They got to get acclimated to some long drives and see how their conditioning holds up and really see what game conditions are like.
Yeah. Hey, another guy is JoJo Trader on the top of my list. I knew he ran a takeoff down the middle, a pretty well covered between a safety and the corner, but I sure would like to see him get four or five catches and get him going a little bit. Has he been a little banged up? I heard he was a little banged up for a while again.
You know what, Joe? I don't follow the injury report, so I can't answer that for you. But I will tell you this, they need to have him involved. I think that he's a guy that the receiver group, if you give me a minute, I've never seen a receiver group in my history of football block like that group did on Sunday. Every one of them. I mean, they were de-cleating those guys of Notre Dame, and it was play after play. And I think, you know, he was involved, got on the field some, and everybody was a big part of that. Trader's a playmaker that it will work his way into the equation.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of people surprised didn't realize Malachi at age 17. I think he might be turning 18 here pretty soon. I know you and I had a good laugh about it. It wasn't so funny watching his ass out there running around wide open on some of those routes. Not acting like a 17, now soon to be 18-year-old. What do you think of Malachi's performance, and did you expect it from being at practice a lot?
You know, Joe, what you see at practice, he showed all those things that he showed in the game. But what you don't know is a 17-year-old in his first start against Notre Dame. He's at Miami, national television, sold-out crowd. How's he going to play? Well, he played like he plays. And every single person you talk to on that staff, they talk about how he approaches every single day. And the fact that he studies, he's in there watching extra tape, taking extra balls after practice, doing whatever he's got to do. And he just, I think the best is yet to come. And the good news for me is, you know, we were wondering how you're going to replace Restrepo. Well, I mean, does this kid have 3,000 yard seasons? I mean, that's where's the cap on him? I don't think there is one.
Well, the other thing I like is, and it tells you all you need to know about how much they trust him, he's a punt return guy. He was your deep guy catching all the punts. And I wasn't sure about that, but he looked so smooth. It just didn't look like the moment was too big with Notre Dame guys around him out there to fair catch it and run when he could.
That's a great point. And, you know, special teams, they perform very, very well, except for, you know, the one snap. But everything else, I think Miami just, again, won that category against Notre Dame. But Tony's going to get used to it. You know, number 10 is a name to get used to. And, you know, how do you not talk about the receivers and talk about the catch with
Daniels? Oh, the catches. By the way, that might not happen anything like that the rest of the year. The time in the game between a safety and a corner that you got a little separation and then the extension. Yeah, that was impressive. That was you don't get one of those. A lot of guys never see that in their career. That was pretty good for national TV. Where's that rank for you?
I don't know that I've seen many much better than that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
that's a tough one, right?
That's a tough one. I mean, somebody'd have to jar my memory for that one to be unseated as number one, especially with the results and at the time of the game and what it meant. I mean, that was a money deal. And Joe, I'm sure you noticed, but Carson Beck was falling backwards. You know, I mean, it was a heck of a placement for him too. I mean, the catch was spectacular, but Beck getting it out there and hanging on to the last second and getting rid of the football and making the play, it was a cumulative effort by those guys.
Hey, defensively, just the one breakdown, which was a big, big problem a year ago. I don't need to tell you about all the guys wide open and trying to figure out, either in the radio booth or somebody on TV going, somebody made a mistake. Nobody's this open in a zone or something. Only had one of them in the game that I really noticed. Was there, it looked like it was pretty clean from the secondary.
It was. And the thing that is impressive about that is is the communication that's required in the secondary to be successful. And, you know, Notre Dame obviously was trying to get them to run most of the game to the perimeter, you know, throwing all those screens and everything out towards the sideline. But they held up. And, you know, the Poizier kid, who's a sophomore who came in from Jacksonville State, you know, he's about a step up from what he saw last year in college. And Lucas played well. He was the guy from Wisconsin. And that whole group really is starting to gel. I think as the next couple weeks go by, you'll really start seeing them build depth, and you'll start seeing a couple guys just jump off the chart as who's the star.
Yeah. No, listen, man, it was a lot of good stuff. Hey, so just so you know, before I hit this 9 o'clock hour, So I went out. I want to make sure you're okay with this. I did it again before you came on. I've been saying when he's in the office, if you call and said, if DBJ comes out to my house, I'd like to use him for my flooring. Yeah. Because you did that, and my wife had such a great experience. But it'd be a Canes fan, and you don't mind talking about the Canes. You talk about them morning, noon, and night. It's okay.
Yeah.
So you're not mad I did that, right? I just want to let you know it's the owner of the company.
Joe, I can't be mad at you telling the truth. How could I be mad at you telling the
truth? There you go.
You call me. That's it. It's a very simple rule. If you call me wherever you are, I'll go. I don't care if it's Weston or Vero Beach, I'll be there. It doesn't matter. And that's just the way we run it. You're nice enough to come to us, we're nice enough to come to you.
DBJ, hey, man, that's the way you are, too. If anybody getting ready to do it, make sure you stop right now and use DBJ. I'm telling you right now, they got great people, great group of people working with them. Don, thank you, man. Have a good one. And I'll talk to you next week.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. Have a good one as well.
You got it. Don Bailey Jr., Hurricanes radio analyst, joining us. We got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Mike Florio is on fire right now. We're going to have Mike join us in this 9 o'clock hour. We'll have that for you. But before we do, we obviously have a message for everybody out there, especially for a lot of guys going through some hard times, man. It hits it. I've had it, done it, didn't handle it great. In different times of my life. And if you're in a dark time right now, I want to tell you about Dr. Barry and his staff and talk about Recovery Unplugged and just how good they are. You know, we're always talking about game changers on the field, but here's one for your mental health. Recovery Unplugged Behavioral Health has a beautiful mental health residential program in Fort Lauderdale. For 12 years, they've helped over 20,000 people heal with expert clinical team that they put together. And innovative treatments like this ketamine, therapy for depression, anxiety, and trauma. If you or someone you love needs winning strategy, call 954-737-4508 or visit recoveryunplugged.com. Everyone, and I mean everyone, deserves a great season in life. Recovery Unplugged can help you heal out loud.